our minds, not on the things on the earth, but on the things above. And in the verses that we'll be looking at this morning, Paul shows us that God not only wants us to seek different things, to have a different mindset, but he wants us to change our whole lives. So we'll be looking at Colossians 3, 5 through 17. Before we read these verses, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're thankful that you have written your word and given it to us so that we can hear what you want us to think and what you want us to do. We pray for hearts ready to receive your word this morning, and give us faith, give us conviction, and change our lives through your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 17. This is God's holy word. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. One of the stories that was told over and over again in my family growing up was a story about my father when he was working on a dairy farm in Northern Ireland. And so he was working one day on the farm. He was spreading liquid manure on the fields as a fertilizer. And all of a sudden, the tank behind the tractor stopped spraying. So he stopped the tractor, and he got out, and he went around to the back of the machine, and he noticed that there was a rock stuck in the nozzle. So without thinking very carefully about this, he disconnected the nozzle to try to clean out the rock. And suddenly, the entire tank of manure emptied all over him. And it was a bit of a surprise and a discouraging, suddenly it became a kind of a discouraging day. Now, very likely, you in some way have been in situations like this, perhaps not so dramatically as being covered in liquid manure, but your kids have thrown up on you, or you've slipped and you've fallen in the mud. And if that's happened to you before, then you have an idea of what you need to do. How do you need to go about dealing with this problem? You have to carefully take off your dirty clothes. You have to put on clean clothes. And then, especially if how you got dirty was unexpected or embarrassing, you have to adjust your attitude. And these verses in Colossians this morning, they help you and me see that though we have been saved, we have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, we still get splattered with manure. We still continue to sin. We continue to break God's law in what we think and what we say and what we do. And you can't just ignore these dirty clothes. You can't just go on living and pretend that nobody will notice. Rather, by God's grace, you need to take off your sins. And you need to put to death your sins and to put on love. And throughout this process, to adjust your attitude, to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So that's what we'll be looking at this morning from these verses. And so, first of all, if you can imagine the picture of you covered in mud, covered in manure, the first thing you need to do, you can't just stand there. You need to take off your dirty clothes. You need to take off your sins. Take off your sins. And this is what Paul is telling us in these verses. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then verse 8. But now you must put them all away. Now, if you're thinking about taking off dirty clothes, what you need to do first, you need to identify what it is that is dirty. Identify what do you need to take off. And verse 5 kind of summarizes what you need to take off, what you need to put to death. It says, put to death what is earthly in you. Literally, the Greek says, put to death your members that are on the earth. I remember last week we looked at these first couple verses in Colossians 3. We learned that there's a sense, a very true sense, that we don't live on the earth anymore. If you are in Christ, you don't belong to this earth. You belong to heaven. You have been seated with Christ in heaven. And because this is true, if there are parts of you, if there are things that you do, things that are clinging to you that are still on the earth, things that belong to this world, they must come off. You must take these things off. These things must be put to death. Any sin, any way that you break God's law and what you think and what you say and what you do must be removed. And in verse 5 and in verse 8, Paul goes on to give us kind of a list, these two lists of examples of the kinds of things that you and I need to take off. So let's look at these two lists in a little more detail. The first list, in verse 5, it really represents sins of physical lust. Sins of physical lust. And this list of sins, in particular, is an example of the progression of sexual sin, sexual immorality. And this is a pretty good example for Paul to give us in our day today, isn't it? A recent survey of over 1,000 men and women between the ages of 18 and 35 showed that 98% of men and 73% of women had looked at online pornography in the last 6 months. And so very likely this is a relevant sin to some of you. This is a sin that you need to think about, you need to put off and put to death. But really, as we think about this list of sins here, we could fill in any kind of sin that's motivated by physical lust. You could think of a lust for food, a lust for drugs, a lust for alcohol. This list of sins gives us an example of a progression of sins of physical lust. Now, this progression, this list of sins here, is really a progression from the fruit to the root, from the outward manifestation of sin to the inward motivating desire. And every link of this chain, every part of this progression is what Paul is calling us to put to death. And so you must put to death sexual immorality itself. The word here is a broad word. It means any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. Looking at pornography, sleeping around, cheating on your spouse. But not just these outward sexual sins. You must also put to death impurity. Not just perverted behavior, but perverted thoughts. Thoughts about these sins. And you must put to death your passions, your unbounded lusts, your death, put to death your evil desires, wanting what is sinful. And then finally, put to death covetousness. Maybe a better word for this is put to death greed. Greed, which is idolatry. We usually think about greed associated with money, wanting more and more and more money. But this word, it really just means wanting more. Wanting more and more. Not being satisfied. Wanting what you don't have and what you can't have. And this lack of contentment, this wanting more and more, it's ultimately idolatry. It's worshiping something besides God. And notice that you need to put to death this whole chain, the whole thing, every link in this chain, not just the outward manifestations, not just looking at pornography itself, not just sleeping around, but thoughts about doing so, desires about doing these sins, and even any discontentment, any unbounded, unchecked desire for anything besides God. We have to put together this whole chain. If you think about a splinter sticking into your foot, if it's a long splinter, you can't just cut off the part that's sticking out above the skin and put a Band-Aid on it and say it's going to be okay. You got to pull out the whole thing. You got to not just kill the fruit, but also kill the root. But we not only have an example of sins of physical lust here, but in verse 8 we have an example of sins of relationship. Sins of relationship. Here, Paul goes kind of in the opposite direction. He goes from the root to the fruit. And we have to realize these two lists are closely connected. And at the beginning of verse 8, Paul says, "But now you must put these all away, put them all away." Really, the root of sins in our relationship, just like the root of sins in our physical lust, the root is really greed. It's wanting more. James chapter 4, verse 1 answers this question of what is it that causes conflict among us. It's our passions that are at war within us. And so when you're angry, isn't the problem that you want more? You want more comfort. You want more fairness. You want more respect. And that anger then overflows into wrath, and you yell at your children, or you blow up at your coworkers, or it turns into malice, and you plot and think and scheme about ways to retaliate. And then outwardly, that anger shows itself in gossip and slander, and even telling lies. These are filthy clothes. These are dirty clothes. You must take them off and put to death. Put them to death. Well, if you're covered with these muddy clothes, you've identified which clothes are muddy, which ones need to be removed. What do you need to do next? Well, you need to determine how badly you need to change. How urgently do I really need to change? Do I really need to change now, or can I wait until another time? Well, from our passage, really, no matter what the sin is that you have identified in your life, you need to change now. It is urgent that you change. And our text gives us a couple of different reasons for this urgency. The first one is in verse 6. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And so the picture isn't just that you got a little dirty, but we could think that maybe you've been sprayed with battery acid. There's an urgency, an urgent need for you to get your contaminated clothes off now. We don't really like to think about the wrath of God very much. But Paul here, he wants you to think about it. He wants you to realize that the sins in your life that you are clinging to, that you are trying to ignore, that you're tolerating in yourself, these are sins that send people to hell. And even more terrible than hell, you need to understand that these are sins that sent Jesus to the cross. The sins that you are tolerating, the sins that you are tempted to leave alone, caused Jesus to suffer the full weight of the wrath of God. And so you can't just wait until another day, but you have to change now. You need to put your sin to death today. Verse 7 gives us another reason for urgency. And verse 7 says, "In these you too once walked when you were living in them." And so these sins, they don't fit you anymore. They don't match who you are anymore. If you were a pig, it wouldn't matter so much that you were muddy. But you're not a pig. You are a human. You're someone who has been changed and transformed by Jesus. And so your sins that you ignore, you allow to remain on you, they neglect to take into account that the Lord has done something new in you, has changed you. Verses 9 and 10, Paul says that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You don't belong to the old self anymore. You don't have the old self anymore. You belong to the new self. You belong to Jesus, and it's Him that is in you, and Him that is empowering you. And so these sins don't fit who you are. They don't match the Christ in you. You need to take them off and put them to death. Well, so if you are covered with mud and you've identified what things need to come off, you've determined that you really do need to change, there's an urgency, maybe one more thing you need to consider before taking off your clothes is, how will you get them off? How will you get them off? And verse 5 says, you take them off by putting them to death. Putting them to death by killing them. And this teaches us that it takes effort to put to death sin. It's hard. It's hard to kill things. It hurts to kill things. As you put off these dirty clothes, as you take off your sins, it's going to hurt. As you say no to your desires, it's going to feel a little bit like you're dying. But it will also be right. It will also feel right, because these things don't belong to you anymore. They don't fit you anymore in Jesus Christ. Well, if your clothes are covered in mud and you've taken off the muddy clothes, what do you need to do next? What do you need to do next? Well, you can't just do nothing. If you've taken off these dirty clothes, what do you need to do? You need to put on the clean clothes. And so secondly, put on love. Put on love. Not only are we to take off and to put to death our sins, but we need to put something on as well. And this is really important as you're trying to fight against sin. It's not enough just to stop. It's not enough just to stop looking at pornography. It's not enough just to stop gossiping. Stopping these things is good. It's good to stop, but you also need to start doing things as well. Start putting on new desires, new thoughts, new behaviors. So we're thinking about putting on clean clothes, putting on new clothes. And the first questions you have to ask, the first question that you ask when you're getting dressed, this is a question that we is always a major topic of discussion on Sunday mornings in my house, is what are you going to wear? What are you going to wear? And Paul gives us here a list of what we need to wear, what we need to put on. And unlike the other sins, the lists of sins that are kind of a progression, we can think about these lists of virtues more in terms of a wheel, a spokes of a wheel, different virtues flowing out of a central hub. And so what are these things that you are to put on? Well, you are to put on a compassionate heart. The Greek word here means guts. It means being deeply moved by other people, having a deep concern for other people, not being apathetic, not being indifferent, but being moved with concern. You are to put on kindness, to have a posture and an attitude of being kind towards those around you, to be thinking about ways to do good to those around you. You are to put on humility, not being proud, not self-centered, not self-promoting, but promoting other people, thinking about other people highly. You are to put on meekness. This could be translated gentleness, not being rough, being under control, being careful, being gentle. Put on patience, not being easily angered, not demanding immediate change, being willing to wait patiently for others. You are to bear with one another, to be understanding, to realize the struggles and the weaknesses of other people, to think the best of others and their situation, and you are to forgive. If you've been wronged, if somebody has hurt you and they've sought your forgiveness, you are to be willing to eat it, to not count it against them, even if they have done harm to you in some way. And what is the hub? What is the center of all of these virtues? What is the center and the summary of these things? Well, verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love. Love binds all these things together. What you need to do is put on love. And if you think about it, love is really the opposite of the sins that we've looked at. Love is, if you're driven by love for other people, you're not going to be so interested in just gratifying your physical desires. If you're driven by love for people, you're not going to live in anger and malice and slander. But love, we need to put on love. Well, so if you're putting on clean clothes, you've decided what clothes you're going to wear, you might have second thoughts. You might wonder, are these really the right clothes? And so we need to ask the question, how do you know that these are the right things to wear? These are the right things. These clothes flowing out of love are the right ones. Well, these are the right ones. And we know that, first of all, because these clothes match who you are. That these clothes match what God has done for you. Verse 12 says that you are God's chosen ones. You are holy ones. You are His beloved. And because you are His, because you belong to Him, it is fitting, it is right for you to look like Him and for you to wear these qualities. Because we are God's chosen ones, because we are His holy ones and we are loved by Him, we can even say that God has given us these clothes. These clothes are in your closet. They are in your drawer. They're not just at some expensive store somewhere that you can only have if you're rich enough, but through the gospel, through what Christ has done for you, You can have these things. You can put on love. And furthermore, these clothes match. They match how God has treated you. Verse 13, it says, "Forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." How can you be apathetic when Christ has shown you compassion? How can you be unkind when Christ has been kind to you? How can you be proud when Christ humbled himself to save you? How can you be impatient when God in Christ again and again has been infinitely patient towards you? And how can you be unforgiving when God, through the death of his Son, has forgiven you? These are the right clothes. These are the right things to put on. They match who God has made you. They match how God has treated you. Well, if you've been covered in mud, and if you've taken off your dirty clothes, if you've put on clean clothes, what else remains for you to do? What do you need to do if you've put on these clean clothes? The question that you're wondering is, how are you going to face the people who saw you? How are you going to face the people who saw you unload the trailer of manure on yourself? How are you going to deal with the embarrassment of getting dirty again? Well, not only do you need to put on love, but you need, thirdly, to adjust your attitude. To adjust your attitude. And this is what Paul moves into in the last three verses here, 15 through 17. As you are putting to death your sins, as you are putting off your sins, as you are putting on these new virtues, you're putting on love, what should be your attitude? How should you think about this process? What should be your mindset as you do these things? How can you deal with the embarrassment and the shame of what has happened? How can you anticipate even the possibility of falling in the mud again? What should be your attitude as you do these things? Well, the attitude that you need is peace. It's peace. Look at verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." This is what you were called to. You're called to peace, to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And you can have this peace. You can have this peace because Christ has purchased this peace for you. You used to be alienated from God. You were his enemy. You didn't have peace. You were under his wrath. But Christ took that wrath. He reconciled you to God. And so you can have peace. You can let the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. You can have that peace because now you are forgiven. Despite your dirty clothes, despite how you may have fallen again, you are completely forgiven. The righteousness of Christ has covered your sin. You can have peace because in Christ you are safe. You are safe. Nothing can shake your salvation. You have been hidden with Christ in God. Not even falling in the mud, not even falling again into sin can shake this great salvation. And you can have peace because you are loved. You are loved. God the Father loved you so much that he sent his Son to die for you. And while your sin may hurt the love of other people in your life, that it might cause other people to love you less, your sin will not cause God to love you less. You are completely loved, and so you can have peace. Notice that this peace is to rule. It is to rule in your hearts. You should let it have its way. It should be the primary attitude, the single ruling emotion in your heart. Is it? Is peace what controls you? Is the peace of Christ reigning in your heart? Well, it can be. It can be. And so let the peace of Christ rule. At the end of verse 15 through 17, we see some concrete, specific ways where we can show this peace of Christ, and we can let this peace of Christ rule in our hearts. In verse 15, you can do this by being thankful. By being thankful, thanking God for all that he has done for you in Christ, thanking him for his mercy, turning your eyes off yourself, looking with gratitude towards him and to all that he has done for you. In verse 16, you can do this by letting Christ's word dwell in you. To let your mind be saturated and soaked in the word of God, meditating on his promises, thinking about his goodness, thinking about what he has done for you, and then letting these things out by teaching and admonishing your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then in verse 16, you can do this by singing. You can do this by singing. God has given us the gift of music. And he's given us songs to sing, and we can change our attitude. We can express our peace by singing and praise to him. And then verse 17, we have this tremendous summary statement to cap off this new attitude of peace. We are told to do everything, whatever it is, word or deed, to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in his strength. Everything for his glory. Everything out of the love of him. With thankfulness. It's only because of Christ that you can have this new attitude. It's only because of Christ that you can have peace. It's the peace of Christ. It's the peace that comes from him. And it's only with this peace that you will have the courage and the endurance and the desire and the will to keep on putting off sin. To keep on taking off your dirty clothes and to keep on putting the clean, perfect clothes of love when you fall again. And so, brothers and sisters, it's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to take off your sin and to put on love in peace. And the Lord Jesus has made this change possible. He has already changed you. He's given you a new nature. He's worked in your heart to give you faith. And he is able to give you the strength that you need to go about this difficult task. It's hard to change. It's hard to change, isn't it? It's hard to put your sin to death. But ignoring your sin is as foolish as walking around in manure-covered clothes hoping people won't notice. But by God's grace, put off your sins. And more, be conformed to the image of Christ in love, letting his peace reign in your hearts. Let's bow in prayer.